Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Have you heard of the guy who sold his soul on eBay? Remember that story? He's an atheist named Hemant Mehta, and as far as we know, he's still alive, and while there's life, there's hope. Well, Hemant Mehta, I'll spell that for you, H-E-M-A-N-T, Hemant Mehta, M-E-H-T-A, wrote a book called I Sold My Soul on eBay, and I have his book right here in my hands. In fact, it starts out on page one with the name of one of our websites that our longtime friends and supporters, our Bob and Your Life family, started a ministry 15 years ago, but let's not get into that. Hemant makes some of the same points that we here at Bob and Your Life have made over the last 20 years on the air. And so, Hemant, thank you for agreeing to talk with us at Bob and Yurt Live.
Sure, thank you for having me.
I did receive your book only today, Hemant, and I'm sorry about that, but I've read enough of it for us to have a good conversation, I hope.
All right, I hope so.
So on eBay, can you tell the audience what exactly you did auction off?
Sure. The brief history is, you know, I've basically been an atheist. At the time I wrote the book, I'd been an atheist for about 10 years. And I was raised in an Indian family. So growing up, I never went to a church or a mosque or a synagogue. And around that time that I was thinking about the eBay auction, I was thinking, you know, I kind of want to go to a church and I want to experience it because I don't want secondhand accounts of what church is like from my atheist friends who may have had bad experiences there.
Right.
You know, I want to check it out for myself. So for some reason, around that time, eBay was getting a lot of attention, and because they were selling some religious things on there, pseudo-religious things, like the grilled cheese with the Virgin Mary on it.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, I put this ad up on eBay that basically said, look, I'm really an atheist, and I will go to a church or a mosque or a synagogue, wherever you want me to go, to whoever the highest bidder is. I will go where you want me to go for a certain number of times, you know, for every $10 you bid. You know, thinking that no one's really going to bid on this thing, but, you know, maybe someone will bid 10 bucks. I'll go somewhere and check it out for the first time. That'll be kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the idea. I didn't really think anyone would bid. And what happened was that it got some attention, and a former evangelical pastor, still a Christian, ended up winning the auction for a little over $500.
So Jim Henderson,
yeah,
author of Evangelism Without Additives, so he paid over $500. Now, that's a decent chunk of change.
Yeah, and I should mention, you know, I didn't want anyone to think this was some sort of scam. I really wasn't doing this to make money or something. I didn't think anyone would actually pay. But that money was donated to a nonprofit group I work with. I didn't keep that money. But it meant I had to go to church 50 times.
What, 50 times? That's,
Sunday,
that's,
you know?
That's quite a commitment on your part. And, Hemant, can I mention something our audience might recall? This is not to diminish your experience at all. It's just to share another one. Here at Bob and Yurt Live on our TV show, right before the program started, there was a bug, a beetle that was on the desk on the set. And so the cameraman zoomed in on it, and we said we were going to auction off the life of this beetle since there are people who say that all life is precious. And all life is made in God's image, those who believe in that, which I don't believe as a Christian, only humans are. But so anyway, we said, okay, we're going to kill this bug unless we could ransom it. And a guy called in and said, I'll give you my credit card number. I'll pay you $500 to kill the bug right now. And we did kill the bug. So we earned our money too, Hemant.
I guess, congratulations.
Yeah, but ours was a little easier than going to church 50 weeks in a row.
Well, Jim and I made a deal. We basically, Jim said, you know, as a Christian and a former pastor, he said he would get bored going to church, the same church, 50 times in a row. So he said, you know, let's make a deal. How about I go to church 10 times, and in exchange, I'll write about my experiences on his Christian ministry's website.
Mm.
So I was glad to take that deal, and what I ended up writing on his website became the basis for I Sold My Soul on eBay.
All right. All right, and so the book came out just 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this is a relatively new story. Of course, anything having to do with the internet is relatively new. So can we start with some things we have in common in your book?
Sure.
You describe yourself as what I've often called an honest atheist. someone who at least outwardly shows a willingness to consider evidence for God's existence. You write that you have, quote, an openness to evidence that might contradict my current beliefs. Is that still your attitude?
Yeah, I think it is, though. What was the phrase you used to describe that?
An honest atheist.
I'm kind of curious if you know any dishonest atheists, because yeah. I can tell you from my experience, when I work with several national atheist groups, I know, you know, tons of atheists, and I really can't tell you I know any dishonest atheists by that definition.
How about Michael Shermer? Do you know his name?
I do. I know Michael Shermer pretty well.
Yeah, he's an editor with Scientific American. I think one of the founders of the Skeptic
Magazine.
Society. Well, also, yes. he was an editor of Scientific American for some years.
Okay.
And
okay.
I had an opportunity to interview him in 2003. And mm-hmm. I asked him, I started out like this. I said, Michael, you and I disagree. You know, we're opposite ends of a worldview spectrum. But can't you at least agree with the Bible when it starts out on page one, that it says that the sun, the moon, and the stars, it says the sun is a light. And Moses, in the books of Moses, he said, don't worship the sun, the moon, or the planets. Don't worship them. So I said, can't you just agree, while much of the ancient world was worshiping the sun and the moon, that the Bible was correct when it says that the sun is a light? And Michael Shermer said this. We have it on audio tape verbatim. Hammond, Michael Shermer okay. said, the sun is not a light.
Okay.
And that is an illustration for those in my audience. We've been on the air 5 days a week for 20 years of the difficulty we have debating atheists who are so obstinate and so angry and so fearful that you cannot have any common ground, even for him to just agree that the Bible was right when it said the sun is a light. He said the sun is not a light.
And again, I'd have to see the whole context
sure.
of that thing. I mean, I've said some, you know, things I'd love to take back, and I think were misinterpreted in some interviews.
Well,
but,
and Hammond, again, I'll link to that on today's show. Okay, on
sure,
today's show,
great.
We'll put a link
but
to
I,
it,
I
and
think
he could take it back. He's welcome
no,
to take
fine.
It back.
I guess my point here is, you know, I know a lot of atheists. I think atheists are open to the evidence. I think what tends to happen is when we have conversations with Christians and people who want us to see the Christian worldview, you know, what happens is they start talking in such a way that it's almost like they're trying to catch us in a verbal trap instead of actually going for the gist of it. And they think like, you know, you're saying, oh, look, you said it's not a light. Look, Michael Shermer, I think I could speak for him when he says he knows the sun is a light. And, I don't think that's really scoring a victory there.
Hammond, I think you're right. He knows the sun.
No, I know you do, but I'm saying
But why in a public interview on the radio, 50,000 yeah. watts, why would he behave that way? It's my experience that
That's a good question. You can ask him that. But I'm telling you, from my experience, it never seems like anyone wants to have a real conversation. And I'm always open for those real conversations.
Welcome.
What ends up happening is a lot of people who want to talk to an atheist.
Yes.
And believe me, I really do appreciate that. It happens on my website, friendlyatheist.com, all the time. What happens is, you know, there's a difference between emails that I get from people who say, look, you know, I'm a Christian, and I don't really understand how, you know, my worldview and your worldview, you know, we can't both be right. We disagree on very obvious big things. So I'm trying to understand your perspective. Help me out here. You know, explain a couple things to me, or let me share with you a couple things. There's a big difference between emails like that, which I appreciate, and I tried my best to respond to, and emails I get, which happens the bulk of the time, which, you know, try to quote the Bible or try to say, look, like, let me take something out of context and try to prove to you
is. Yeah, taking something out of context is inherently wrong. Quoting the Bible is not inherently wrong. You'd have to demonstrate
that game, I mean, again, I'm not the Bible expert, but any internet search, I mean, you could find Bible things taken out of context used by Christians.
Well, I know that, Hammond. I agree. I'm just saying you said they will post and quote the Bible. That's not inherently wrong, right?
It depends what they're saying. But again, it's basically the idea that you could use anything you want to justify anything you want.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't make it special.
Exactly true. Exactly true. And atheists do that also, right? There are many famous atheists who have enslaved millions of people in the last century.
And so, oh, really?
Well, like Stalin. Or Mao.
Again, that makes as much sense to me as saying that he did what he did because he had a mustache. Like, yeah,
a mustache is an incidental coincidence with other people. Atheism was a driving motivation of many of our communist and socialist, atheistic, Darwinist regimes.
Denying that some atheists have done bad things,
yeah.
But you know as well as
well,
I
was
do
just
that
agreeing with you.
People have done bad things as well.
That's
but
right.
I don't think the atheists that I know, I don't think the atheists that are, running any of these national organizations are running around saying, let's destroy religious people. They're not. I can tell you that. I work with them. I don't think they're saying that secretly either. I mean, we're not trying to kill people who are religious. We're not trying to stop them from, practicing. They have a right to faith.
Well,
we think they're wrong, and we want to have that conversation.
Hammond,
and we think there are lines, but yeah.
Well, and for one, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to be able to provide the kind of conversation that you're saying you appreciate. But we have debated, like the founder of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Dan Barker. And
yeah.
In fact, do you know ABC's, Reginald Finley, the infidel guy?
Yeah,
he's been on this show. We have lengthy debates with the guy who wrote the book God.com, John Henderson, the guy who had the Bible turn in for pornography program down in Texas, University of Texas, Carlos Morales, Michael Shermer, Eugenie Scott. I don't know if you know her.
Mm-hmm. I know her pretty well as well.
Yeah, we had a one-hour debate on the evidence for creation that we still sell on a DVD, and it's on our website. So we seek out atheists and those who are not Christians to talk through these very important issues. So can I go to something else that we agree with you on in your book?
Sure.
Maybe you could read it. I don't know if you have your book handy.
I don't have it on me.
Okay, there's a paragraph on page 172 about miracles. And
okay.
Hammond, this is really good. In fact, it could have come verbatim from my own book, The Plot, about the Bible. I'm sure you still see it this way. We do. We agree with everything in this paragraph.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. When I mention miracles, I'm referring to a real miracle, not the type of miracle I heard Christians praying for in prayer meetings. I'll never change my thinking about God based on a, quote, miracle that helps someone find a better apartment, or the perfect roommate, or a husband. A miracle did not occur when you avoided a car accident. I also don't consider it a miracle if a church gains approval from this. This is funny because there's a big church in Denver fighting this right now, Hammett. I don't consider it a miracle if a church gains approval from the city zoning commission to build a parking garage. I'm referring to an obvious, undeniable miracle, an occurrence that has no other possible natural explanation. Here, I agree with you.
Good.
What's the sense of using the word miracle if it means everything?
No, I think it's the idea that, sometimes you see on TV those televangelists who think they're curing someone of some medical condition that they've had their entire life.
Right.
And I know a lot of Christians who dislike that. They find that to be a fake
right
thing. It's all a show.
It's it's fraudulent,
yeah,
actually, because they lie. They come to Denver and say, we healed a child, a young girl who was born blind, and now she can see, and it's a lie.
Right, and they never release the medical records on these people or anything like
right
that.
And the people, and to go further, the people they say were healed of cancer, and then journalists go in, and they die of cancer 3 weeks later, and the ministry will say, well, that was another cancer. They were healed of the one at our event.
Exactly.
So it's
well,
all
and that's
a scam.
What I mean, like the miracles that, that you can't just say it was a fraud. And I'm trying to think of some examples. There's a website that I don't know if I'm getting the name right, but it's like, why doesn't God heal amputees.com or something like that. But it's that idea. Like, there are some things God can't do.
Well,
the Christians love saying that God can do anything.
Well,
there's a problem there.
Well, Hammond, by the way, that guy on that website, we've asked him to come on the show, and I could get his name for you, but so far he's refused. Maybe you could put in a good word for us. But
we'll see.
But you just said that God can't do that. I'm agreeing with you that the things that are claimed to be miracles are obviously not miracles. Remember,
sure.
Cap, but that's different from whether God can do those things. But remember Captain Sully Sullenberger, that jet
right,
on the Hudson River?
Right, that's not a miracle
River?
Either. That's a talented guy who worked very well under pressure. That's not God's guiding hand or something like that. You're right.
Exactly. And Hammond, we were one of the Christian shows at that time. We did a program called The Hudson River Landing Was Not a Miracle. And we agreed with Captain Sully because he said, he said, look, this was a result of training.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Now, no, and you're right. And I wish more Christians would say that. But and you know then, too, like, that's not what you hear Christians saying in the media.
Right. They drive
and
us crazy.
You need more Christians saying that otherwise.
Hammond, they drive us crazy maybe as much as you.
Yeah.
But if an airplane came down, straight down at the ground, 500 miles an hour, and all the passengers were standing on the ground perfectly well with their carry-on luggage, and the plane was destroyed, that would have been a miracle.
If everything was as you said it was, and I don't know, like what I'm saying is, look, I can't give you a little, you can't throw like one thing at me and say that was a miracle, and then look, it happened, there you go, it's a miracle.
Right.
Like, let's have people who know what they're talking about in these circumstances look at it, let's see. I mean, I think what people have a problem with atheists doing is we question those things. When we hear them, I don't think Christians do that enough. I think they just say, oh, well, if those people were alive, like, you know, those plane crashes happen where a bunch of people die and one person happens to live. And, you know, they say, oh, look, it's a miracle that person survived.
And
well, apparently God hates those other people because they all died.
Exactly. Hammond, you're almost qualified to teach Sunday school at our church, at Denver Bible Church.
Done and done.
But
you're
making a lot of sense. And in the Bible, God has conversations like this, including with unbelievers who make a lot of sense, and God agrees with them when they make a good point, when they show that they did something in integrity. So, and it harms our case to say that these things are miracles. In fact,
Jesus, is that so prevalent with Christianity?
For the same reason that when the Lord himself was here, there was widespread corruption and lack of knowledge and selfishness among the religious people around him. And so Jesus spent most of his time confronting religious leaders, not affirming them. And I think an honest atheist would look at that and say, you know, Jesus did warn us about his followers. He said, many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. And so Jesus is probably the only world leader, if I could use that term, who warned the world about his own followers. So, so it hurts the cause. It doesn't help the cause. Jesus said this. He said, if I testify concerning myself, my testimony is not credible. And why not? Because people lie all the time. If somebody says, well, her arm grew back, Hammond, I've never seen that, but I've seen a lot of people lie. So overwhelmingly, the likelihood is the testimony you're hearing is a lie, overwhelmingly. Right?
Okay.
If somebody says Benny Hinn raised someone from the dead in the Philippines.
All I'm saying is get that stuff on YouTube. Let's all watch it.
Very
Let's
good.
Have a witness who was there. Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Agreed. Okay, so now can we go to something else on that same page that I disagree with?
Okay.
On page 172, you say that that what would convince you about the existence of God is if you saw a miracle. You say, if I witnessed a miracle, that would do it, if it was a real miracle, not one of these phony claimed miracles.
By the way, can I say how impressed I am that you got the book today and read all the way to page 172?
Well, thank you very much. And it's a very interesting book. You know, I've enjoyed reading Stephen Gould, Richard Dawkins, Einstein, for that matter. And I recommend your book. I sold my soul on eBay. It's important for Christians to be able to see ourselves through the eyes of others.
Mm-hmm.
So good job on this book.
Thanks.
Okay, you say that if you witnessed a miracle, that would do it.
Yeah.
Can you think through maybe some of the things you might have heard in those church services and realize that Jesus would disagree with you? He said...
with what?
With what you're saying here, if I witnessed a miracle, that would do it. That would convince me. Jesus said that if you don't hear the scriptures, if you don't hear Moses and the prophets, you would not believe even if a man were to rise from the dead. And that's quite a statement he makes. And in our book, The Plot, I'm not trying to sell the plot, but we have an exhaustive chart of every miracle in the Bible, 343 miracles. And we put in a column the response of the witnesses to the miracle. And overwhelmingly, the Bible claims that when people saw miracles, they hardened their heart against God. They rebelled against him even in a more determined way. In fact, the whole nation of Egypt, according to the story in the Bible, the whole nation of Egypt, including right up to Pharaoh, they didn't repent. And the whole nation of Israel, after seeing all those miracles and in the wilderness with miracles for 40 years, they hated God and they hated Moses. And Jesus, the cities where he did most of his miracles, like Bethsaida and Chorazin, Capernaum, the Bible says explicitly he did most of his miracles in those cities, and they hated him. They utterly rejected him. So, Hammond, why would you think that you'd be different from the claim throughout the Bible written over a 1,500-year period that seeing is not believing, that faith comes by hearing the word of God, not by sight?
All right, so I totally zoned out with everything you just said because, again, you're telling me a script that Christians use all the time, and it's kind of annoying. But I'll answer your question, though. The question is, you know, why am I going to be different if I see a miracle? All I'm saying here, and I hope I don't think I was misquoted, but I'm saying what I mean to say there is, look, I got to witness this stuff with my own eyes. What I can tell you is God has never spoken to me. I've never, anything they've said in church, I listen to, and I'm just kind of rolling my eyes because I don't really buy what they're saying. So, you know, if you want to overwhelm me with the evidence or something, if God personally spoke to me, not a Christian speaking for him or something like that, because I can tell you that's not going to do it. But look, if I personally experienced it, I think it'd be hard to deny. Like, I don't think I'm lying to myself, you know? So if that happened, if God spoke to me, I don't think that's the miracle that I'm saying there. But I think that would be powerful. Okay. I think if you could show me, look, here's a guy who doesn't have a leg, but hey, look, all of a sudden it's right back there and God brought it back.
And that guy is Marshall.
Hard to refute.
That guy's Marshall Brain, by the way, the guy with the website.
Who did what?
Why won't God heal amputees?
That's Marshall Brain's website. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
I don't know the guy, but I'll talk.
All right.
The idea that I need some sort of evidence, and what's not going to work is to have Christians what they always do, which is, you know, quote a Bible passage or tell me their personal conversion story.
Right, but
it's not going to work.
Right. I'm agreeing with you with those things, Hammond.
Right, but you're trying to pinpoint the word miracle, and I think you're missing the big point here. The point is I think I need to experience something myself. And that hasn't happened yet.
Okay, now that's what you wrote in your book. And what
I said the word miracle in the book. I'm not saying you misquoted me.
No.
I said miracle because...
I think when you say you zoned out for a moment, I think you really did. I think you completely missed the point. Let me say it in
fewer
words.
Using the word miracle. People have heard miracles and they have... All right, go ahead.
No. The teachings of Jesus and the Bible... is that when people see miracles, they reject God all the more. Miracles...
You couldn't say that the first time. But I know, like, yeah, they see miracles, they reject God all the more. I don't know. Maybe if I see a miracle, maybe you're right, maybe I'll turn away. I can't guarantee that, like, I'm seeing a miracle is going to happen. But I can tell you that's probably the only thing I can think of right now.
Okay.
As someone who's been an atheist for a while, if you really want to convince me, that is one way that's going to be really hard for me to overcome. You know, seeing it firsthand. I can't guarantee that if that happened, I'm going to, like, all of a sudden become, like, an evangelical Christian. What I'm saying is, look, there's nothing else right now I can think of that would be more powerful, if you want to convince me that God exists, than seeing a miracle. I'm not saying it's 100% going to happen, but I'm saying that's about as good as it's going to get.
I'd like to suggest to you in a sentence why Jesus said, and the Bible's filled with hundreds of examples of if you see a miracle, you don't believe.
It doesn't matter what he said. The idea is just, look.
Well, what he said matters certainly at least as, Hammond, what he said matters certainly as much as what you say or what Michael Shermer says. So we consider the words of Jesus. So he said that if people see it with their eyes, they won't believe. And there's a reason for that argument throughout the Bible.
Wait. How many Christians do you know who have had those personal, like, God talked to me in a dream and all of a sudden I became a Christian?
And it's
that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. It happens all the time. They're not rejecting. They're not becoming hard-hearted or something like that. It happens quite often within the Christian community.
You know how memories change over time and people tell stories and they get exaggerated?
I hear it in church all the time.
Right. That's the explanation for the phenomenon that you're saying. People want, when people believe in God, they get...
You're saying they become hard-hearted when they see miracles.
No.
So why would I be different?
No, we're talking about two things now. But when people believe in God, because of their poor teaching and a lot of superstition, they want to believe they're important. So they work stories of miracles into their conversion and their daily life. And there were no miracles. They're inventing those.
So you're telling me every Christian who's told me one of these miracle stories is just making it up?
They're exaggerating their experiences. They're believing what they want to believe. Jesus told us to look at the evidence. The New Testament says faith is the evidence of things not seen.
That's good. I mean, that's a message that needs to go to church because the evidence, I mean, and this is what I'm trying to do because I know very well I'm not going to convince your listeners, you know, necessarily to start becoming an atheist.
And Hemant, we're absolutely out of time. I'm so sorry. Can we do this? Can we close this show and you and I continue for another few minutes?
Sure.
Okay, so great. So I want to say thank you to our Denver radio audience. Our website is KGOV.com. God bless you guys.
They're not lights.
Oh, the sun is not a light.
Oh.
Much of the ancient world was wrong, thinking that the sun and the moon were gods, and the Bible was right, at least in this minor point, that they're for lights.
No, I don't think so.
You can't admit that.
The ancient world was very aware that these were lights.
Well, yeah, but they were worshiping them as gods.
Well, some did, some didn't. Some worshiped trees and rocks.
I understand that. I said much of the ancient world was worshiping these things, like Egypt, for example, and their, what was their sun god's name? Amun-Re, I think. And they had a god that chased him across the sky and would bring the darkness.
Okay, yep.
And my point is, and I'm surprised that you wouldn't concede this, that at least on this minor point, that the cosmology of the Bible is right, that they are not gods, they're lights.
Yeah, but that's not a correct cosmology. It's just a different interpretation.
Well, what's incorrect about saying they're not gods? The sun is a light. It's not a god. What's incorrect about that?
They're not lights.
Oh, the sun is not a light.
No.
The sun does not give light to the earth.
It generates light as a product of fusion.
Yeah, I agree with that. But so the sun is not a light?
But I'm not sure where this is going. I don't get any of this. What is it?